Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll be able to stick with us this evening. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers that are out there tonight. And certainly as we close out Father's Day, I hope you had a great day today. Here in northeastern Ohio, it was a beautiful day. I mean, it was kind of chilly yesterday, but still a nice day, but it warmed up a little bit, but very comfortable, and just a beautiful day. Great time to be able to get out, and I hope you were able to spend some time with your father if you had the opportunity. Not everybody has their father available, but if your father is there and you haven't talked to him yet today, you can probably still give him a call before Father's Day gets over. And if not, give him a call tomorrow and make some time for him. But I hope you had a great day today. If you're a father, you had a good time and an opportunity to be out, spend some time with your kids and enjoy. We went out after church, had a nice meal, and it was just a good afternoon. But anyway, we're going to get into our program here tonight. You are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'm the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, there's a variety of things that are there. I've got a variety of articles, including our latest article I put together for our church newsletter called A Shocking Statistic, and deals with some of the statistics that we've been talking about, such as nearly two-thirds of America's pastors lacking in a biblical worldview, and the decline below 50% of church membership in houses of worship in America for the first time since the 1930s. And so the number of things that are in there, and the cure, of course, getting back into the Bible. Pastors need to read the Bible, believe the Bible, and preach the Bible. People in the churches need to do the same, much the same thing. They need to read the Bible, believe the Bible, and listen to the Bible being preached. That's in a nutshell, one of the things that we need to draw us as a nation back to Christ. But you can find that, other articles that we've got on there that we've touched on over the years, as well as past programs, and there's even some shorts from different things where we've took a few short pieces out of some things there, and just a variety of things that you can listen to on there. And just looking at one here in particular, just some of the most recent ones, articles that we've posted, were the founding fathers pro-life, the Russian bear is on the move, and is the death penalty biblical, secure in Christ, and then why was the virgin birth of Christ, of Jesus Christ, necessary? And also, does the Bible teach communism, Baptist ancient or recent, and praying for ungodly leaders? That takes us back all the way to last fall. And there are just a number of other things, and that's just some of them. And you can listen to them. There's also some short programs that we have there on the Trinity, on transhumanism, on Roman Catholicism and the Word of God. And we have some on socialism, Islam, and just quite a variety there. It's Pride Month. You can listen to some of the past programs and shorts there. Here's two in particular, Homosexuality in Light of God's Word, Part 1, where I was joined with Pastor John Lutz of the North Coast Baptist Church back in 2013, now that I look at it. And we spent an hour on his program on a Friday afternoon, and then, or a half hour, I should say, in his program. And then we spent the next half hour on my program. So I got Homosexuality in Light of God's Word, Part 2. And that brings me to something else. You can listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And some of the programs, not only Friday night programs, a lot of times people say, well, I like listening, but usually about halfway through, I start getting sleepy and I fall asleep. And the next thing I know, you're listening to somebody else, and because you're gone. And well, if you missed the program, you can go back onto our website, livewithpastoral.com. You can listen to our past programs there. And if you're not in an area where you can hear our Friday afternoon program, we're here locally in Northeast Ohio every Friday afternoon at 1:30 until 2 o'clock. And those are also available there. So if you're in an area where you don't hear the Friday afternoon ones and you want to listen to that, you can listen to that. And just as a programming note, this coming Friday, I'm actually going to be filling in for Pastor Lutz on his Friday afternoon program. He has a Friday afternoon program here locally on AM 1220 The Word called For the Cause of Christ, and that's on just before our Friday afternoon program Live with Pastor Al. And so I'll be filling in for him at 1 o'clock during his program, and then, of course, followed up with our program at 1:30, so I'll get to be on for an hour this coming Friday afternoon. And you can find out more of that and see some of these programs, all if you go to our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Well, I also wanted to mention a couple of other things that are going on, and then we're going to get to our callers here. We've got some callers calling in. And again, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And before we get into anything more, let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Father, bless the program. We just pray that you especially bless the fathers that are out there tonight on this Father's Day as we close out the day. And I just pray that you bless and encourage and watch over them. And then, Lord, also pray for the program tonight. Help us to be a blessing. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody tonight. Use the program for your cause and your purposes, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I wanted to mention, keep tabs on some of the things that are happening in the news and happening around. We are still waiting for the Supreme Court decision, the Dobbs decision, that is widely believed will overturn the Roe versus Wade decision. And that's because, of course, it was leaked ahead of time. Very unethical, pretty much without precedent, and a lot of unrest has been stirred up over it. And of course, the domestic terrorist groups on the abortion side of things have been firebombing pro-life ministries and various places, disrupting church services, vandalizing places, and the one group, and I don't hesitate to call them domestic terrorist groups. You know, we got a joke of an attorney general in Merrick Garland trying to call Christian, making this thing Christian nationalists. It's a domestic terror group. No, here's a domestic terror group. This is what a domestic terror group is and does and says. We've got this group called Jane's Revenge. It's a radical pro-abortion group. And they have vandalized and disrupted churches and pro-life centers, crisis pregnancy centers. They have thrown Molotov cocktails into them, trying to set them on fire and all this. And this is a recent statement from this domestic terror group, Jane's Revenge. They said this: from here forward, any anti-choice group who closes their doors and stops operating will no longer be a target. But until you do, it's open season, and we know where your operations are. The infrastructure of the enslavers will not survive. We will never stop, back down, slow down, or retreat. You go on to say, everyone with the urge to paint, to burn, to cut, to jam, now is the time. They're basically saying, unless you abandon your pro-life views and you follow them, then you are an open target. And they said, we're coming after you. This is what they said. Until you do, until you abandon your pro-life views, it's open season. And it didn't say pro-life pregnancy, crisis pregnancy centers. It didn't say Catholic churches. It said any anti-choice group. Well, that covers churches. That covers Catholic churches, Protestant churches, Baptist churches, evangelical churches, any church that's pro-life. It covers crisis pregnancy centers that are trying to stand and save the lives of unborn children. It covers pro-life ministries, many of which operate out of local churches, and of course, doubly making churches a target. And I was reading an article, Jane's Revenge by Gary Bauer. It was posted on the Patriot Post on June 17th. And he basically said this. He said, if you're a pastor who's tried to avoid discussing abortion because you wanted to avoid politics, here's your chance to recover your honor. Stand with fellow believers who are trying to save innocent life and help women in crisis. Because they're coming after these people, and we ought to stand on the side of what's right and the side of what's good. And this is the time where a lot of churches, even if you don't have an active pro-life ministry, as these radical pro-abortion domestic terrorist groups like Jane's Revenge, and there's others out there. I'm just going with this one because of the article I'm reading. But you know, we're coming up on the time when churches are going to have security because they're going to be coming for the crisis pregnancy centers today. And as Gary Power points out in his article, they're going to be coming for the churches soon enough as well. And many churches have already been attacked. And so we need to be on guard. We need to be praying. We need to be looking to the Word of God. Paul told Timothy that we ought to be good soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ and to endure hardness, he said, as a good soldier. Here in 2 Timothy chapter number 2 Timothy chapter number 2 here, he said that in verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And we ought to understand there are difficult times that are facing us. We see the things that are happening. We have an administration that is recklessly out of control. They've reconstituted their Ministry of Truth. If you catch the reference to George Orwell's 1984, Ministry of Truth was anything but. They had started it as the Disinformation Governance Board, a DGB, eerily similar to the KGB of the Soviet days, but they reconstituted this, fighting against misinformation. They reconstituted it as a special task force now with Kamala Harris as the head of it. Well, maybe that's our saving grace there. She hasn't done much as the head of the special task force to secure our borders and to crack down on illegal immigration. In fact, that's a whole nother area, the immigration and the attack on our national sovereignty that we're seeing through this. And it's so easy to go off on so many of these different things. But we see the threats. We see the things that are happening, and we just want to remember that we are to be good soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul also told Timothy, same book, 2 Timothy, but in chapter number 1, where he said in verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." We don't need to be fearful and timid and hiding, scared behind locked and bolted doors in our churches. We need to be out there more than ever. I was sharing with our church this morning when the D-Day landings took place, and those young men that were in those boats, as those boats were coming up to the shore, no doubt many of them were frightened, many of them were scared, many of them were apprehensive. And many of them knew that they might not live out the day. And in fact, that happened to a great many, especially the first waves that went ashore. But they knew there was a cause. They knew that there was something greater than themselves. And that's what God's people need to do. If people are willing to sacrifice themselves in a secular cause, in a worldly cause. I remember when I was in the United States Air Force, I was stationed at RAF Chicksands in England. We were about 60 miles or so north of London, out in the middle of the British countryside, just south of Bedford, England. And I got involved with a small missions church that was there. A missionary out of Georgia started a church there in off our base, Chicksands Baptist Church. And I was rededicated my life to the Lord there, and I surrendered to the ministry there. I had an opportunity to stay in the Air Force and really seriously considering it. I enjoyed much of what I was doing, the work that I was doing, working for the, I was in the Electronic Security Command at the time. That was the name of our command. And I thought, you know, I like the stuff that we're dealing with. I liked reading these things and keeping tabs and all that I was doing. But God called me, and I had to surrender to his call and leave the Air Force in order to go into God's ministry. And I did that because I believed that there was a cause greater than what I was doing. It was during the Cold War. President Ronald Reagan was in office, and it was good. I enjoyed my time there. But I got a glimpse of something that was greater, and that was what the Lord wanted me to do. And so I left the Air Force so that I could go into the ministry full time. And, you know, there's been a lot of different ups and downs over the years since then, but I don't regret that I made that decision. I have had to endure hardness from time to time, different things that we've been through. There's some things that God's asked me to do that are a little apprehensive at first, but I remember God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so rather than cower timidly behind locked and bolted doors in the face of increasing opposition, God's people need to get out and realize that we're given a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of a sound mind. It's power because we have the Spirit of God in us and empowering us with supernatural power from God himself to do the work that he calls us to do. We have love to look to, and perfect love casts out fear. We have the love of God in our heart, and hopefully we're motivated by love and a compassion for those around us and of a sound mind. Well, certainly we ought to have a sound mind, but if you know Christ is your Savior, you ought to have the mind of Christ in you, and certainly that's a sound mind, and that's far better than cowering with a spirit of fear. The spirit of fear will keep you from doing the things that God wants you to do. These domestic terrorist groups like Jane's Revenge, they're of the world, and all the things of the world one day are going to be done away with. And we know that ultimately God has a plan. He has something that he is working out. And we know that the world itself, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, he says in chapter 3, verse number 7, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. He continues to say that the day of the Lord will come in verse number 10 as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And then he says in verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. And this is all going to be burned up, the Bible says. But then he says in verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. We need to keep our eyes on the future and what God has in store for us and be involved. Get in the fight. Stand up for what's right. Do the right thing. Stand up for life. Stand up for the gospel message. Be the Christian warrior, the Christian soldier that God would have you to be. Sometimes it may feel overwhelming. Sometimes you may feel that you're at the end of your rope and there's nothing else you can do. And yet we need to remember, as Paul wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 6, he said in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then he goes on to talk about the armor of God, and he introduces that by saying in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then he describes the armor of God, but there's that key there. We need to take a stand. We need to take a stand for Christ. We need to take a stand for what is right. And when we see the opportunity for Roe v. Wade to be cast into the ash heap of history, we need to take a stand for unborn children. We need to take a stand for life, protecting them. The demise of Roe versus Wade is not going to make abortion illegal in this country, no matter what these domestic terrorists and their thug allies claim. It's simply going to bring the decision back to the states. And, you know, as fellow believers, we've got our work cut out for us. Because once it goes back to the state, the pro-life battle is going to have to be waged with intensity in every state, not just on the national level, but in every state where people are going to have to get together. And the most important group that's going to be responsible for this are Bible-believing churches, churches that really do believe God when he said we're fearfully and wonderfully created, and that was before we were born. That was when we're still in our mother's womb. And we need to believe God that we need to be a voice for the voiceless and a defense for the defenseless. Let God use you. Make yourself available for the Lord's service. Be a soldier for Christ. Don't cower in fear timidly behind the locked doors of your church, but resolve to get out there and to make a difference and allow God to work through you. Be the salt and the light in the world around you, not just in the abortion issue or on the abortion issue. We got Pride Month going on this month. We got a whole group of people that are shaking their fist at God, thumbing their nose at God. They've taken the rainbow that God used as a symbol, a promise of his mercy, that Noah and his family saw after the flood, a promise that he would never destroy the earth with water again like he did in the flood there in Genesis. And when they got off from the ark, they saw this rainbow in the sky. Yeah, I know it's a physical phenomena. I understand that. I've got some study in physics in my college background, but it didn't happen apparently until the atmospheric conditions changed and the flood had taken place, and that's a whole other area. But here they are using a symbol of God's mercy and God's promise, and they're throwing it back in God's face, corrupting it, and making a mockery out of it, and using it as a symbol for their activity, which the Word of God says is an abomination to Him. Well, we could talk about a lot of this tonight, and I've ranted on here for a while. I guess since it's my program, I get to do that. But I do want to let you know you can weigh in tonight. Our telephone lines are open, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And you can give us a call tonight with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We've got Terry calling from Canada tonight. Terry, welcome to the program this evening.
Well, good evening, Pastor Al.
Good evening. Happy Father's Day to you.
I don't have a father living, and I'm not a father, so.
Well.
Anyway, happy Father's Day to anybody that's listening in.
Thank you. So.
Happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you. And just to let you know, we've got a few minutes before the break. If we need be, we'll hold you over too, but go ahead.
Okay. You were talking about pride. You know, the first sin that ever was committed, it was pride.
You know, that's a very good point, because that's what happened with the devil. It was pride. He was lifted up with pride. And as we've said before, I think I've said it on the radio before, what's the center of pride? P-R-I-D-E. Center of pride is I, isn't it? It's kind of fitting.
Yeah, me.
Yeah, and also, you know, what's the center of sin? I. What's the beginning of iniquity? I wear glasses, so I understand what it's like to not see clearly when you don't have glasses on. But what happens when you're filled with pride? You don't see clearly, do you? It becomes an eye problem, if you put it that way. You know, you have an eye problem, and when you have an eye problem, you don't see clearly. And that's what happens with pride. People don't see clearly. That's what happened with Satan, and of course, Cain, a proud man as well, thought that he knew better, offer up a sacrifice contrary to what God asked for, and couldn't understand why God didn't accept it, got mad, took it out on his brother Abel, and killed him. And we see pride throughout the Bible causing problems, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's still going on. Well, you know, it used to be 2 days, Pride Week. We have Pride Month here, too, now.
Yeah, it's gone to a whole month. Not just a day, not just a week or two, but a whole month. And, I mean, it's just...
That's a sign of the Lord's return right there.
Well, you know, in 2 Thessalonians, he said there'd become a falling away. I think we're seeing that falling away right now when we see these things.
So that's sad, but it's part of what the Lord said was going to happen.
Well, so we know that we're in the last days. I mean, that, like I said earlier when I was talking, it doesn't mean we're supposed to cower behind locked doors. We understand we're in the last days. God created us at this time, put us in the world at this time for a reason. So we have something to do. We're here at this time for a reason. And we ought to find out what that reason is and be doing it.
You know, you were talking. You know, like I don't even see anybody even going around talking about the Lord anymore on the streets here in London. I went downtown the other day on Saturday, and you don't see anybody preaching anymore. You don't even see the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons or anybody or preachers preaching.
Well, and
anybody coming, I never have anybody come up to me out of the blue.
Yeah.
I never have anybody out of the blue and start talking to me about Jesus.
Yeah. Well, I know both in the United States, Canada, and elsewhere in the world, the pandemic thing with the lockdowns and the fear that they created in people, I think has contributed to some of that, but a lot of it is just the falling away that we're seeing from Christ, the lack of interest in his word. Terry, if you can hold on for a few minutes, we're going to take a break here, and we'll get back after the break. We've got another half hour to go. Stay tuned. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now, let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And just a reminder, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can learn more about us, more about the program, listen to past programs, read some articles and things that are all available at livewithpastoral.com. And you can also link from there to our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. You can find out more about that, where we meet and everything there as well. Certainly invite you to visit us if you're in the area, Northeast Ohio, the Akron, Canton area, or Akron, Cleveland area, I should say. And you can come and visit us, and we'd love to have you fellowship with us. Also, I wanted to point out, not only are they the main sponsor of the program, but we're also sponsored by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. Give them a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Let them know you heard about them right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. All right, we're going to get back to our program. And again, if you've got a question, give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. And I'm going to continue with Terry. We were talking just before the break, and we'll get to him. Then we got a couple more callers waiting, and so we'll work through the phones there tonight. But Terry, welcome back to the program this evening.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the one question I actually had, one reason why I think I called, I was going to call and talk about a couple subjects, but this one thing that came to me is about the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that's been troubling me lately. The Sabbath, like, do we have to keep the Sabbath?
Well,
because I believe that Jesus, this is the way I see it. I believe that when you receive Christ, you're at rest. So he's the fulfillment of the law.
Right, and yeah, and a lot of people get confused with the Sabbath. They think that Sunday is the Sabbath, and Sunday, of course, is the first day of the week, and the Sabbath was, of course, on the last day of the week, the seventh right. day. And another thing that confuses people too is they don't realize that the Sabbath started. Actually, it starts at sunset. The days of the week start at sunset. They run from sunset to sunset, not from midnight to midnight in the Jewish time line. And so the Sabbath actually starts Friday at sunset and runs until Saturday at sunset. And the first day of the week starts Saturday at sunset and runs through Sunday at sunset. And the Sabbath was actually talked about in the Ten Commandments, talked about several places in the Bible, but it was actually enjoined upon the Jewish people as a sign of God's covenant with them. And as a result, they were commanded, what was it in Exodus? If you go to Exodus chapter 16 here, let me go back there. Let me take a quick look at this. And there were ways that the Jewish people were called to observe the Sabbath differently from others. Most people who claim to be Sabbath keepers today really don't keep the Sabbath the way that the Jews were commanded to keep it under the Mosaic Law. But in Exodus chapter 16, and let's drop down here to verse number... let's see if I can find where I'm at here. Exodus chapter 16, verse number, there we are, I'm looking on the wrong page here. Verse number 25, when they were given the manna, they were sent the manna, and they were to gather it on 6 days, but on the seventh day, they weren't supposed to gather it. They were supposed to gather a double amount on the sixth day, so they didn't have to work on the seventh day. And so you see this in chapter 16 here, verse 25. Moses said, "Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days shall ye gather it, and on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath in it, there shall be none." And so we've got this here, and of course some people go out in order to find the manna, and there is none, and they're rebuked for this and reminded that they're not to engage in any of this work on the Sabbath. They're to keep the Sabbath, to remember it, and keep it holy. And it was to be a sign for them. There's another passage that I'm looking at here, Exodus chapter 31. Let me thumb through here real quick, and we'll get over to Exodus chapter 31. And let's see, and the Sabbath. Exodus chapter 31, and we start in verse number 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbath ye shall keep. Now, notice what he says here, and this is the one passage I was looking for in particular here in Exodus 31, verse 13. He's talking to the children of Israel, the Jewish people, and he says, Verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. I don't find too many Sabbath keepers today executing people for defiling the Sabbath or cutting people off from among their people. He continues, verse 15, 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. And again, there's a capital punishment for violating the Sabbath. Verse 16, wherefore the children of Israel, there it is again, this is binding on the children of Israel, shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. If there's any confusion, if there's any lack of understanding, he clears it up in verse 17, saying, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. So the children of Israel had some serious laws given to them regarding Sabbath keeping. Now, of course, when God created the heavens and the earth, as is referred to here, 6 days he made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested. And there's nothing wrong with taking a day of rest on the seventh day of the week. But, of course, Christ fulfilled the law, and we're freed from the demands of the law in that sense. Sunday and going to church on Sunday is not Sabbath keeping because Sunday is not the Sabbath. In Christ, of course, he instituted something new, because we see that Christ was crucified and he rose again after the Sabbath concluded. He rose early on the first day of the week. Now, I personally believe, and I believe the scriptures make a very clear case, that Jesus likely rose after sunset on Saturday. I know some people are saying, oh, Pastor Al, that's not the first day of the week. That's the last day of the week. By our reckoning, yes, but by the Jewish reckoning, once the sun set, it was now the first day of the week. Whatever the case is, Jesus was not in the tomb when the women showed up to the tomb on Sunday morning before the sun rose. And when the angel appeared and rolled the stone away, Jesus was not in the tomb. He didn't majestically stride out, forth from the tomb. He was already gone. In fact, the angel said, hey, look, come see the place where the Lord lay. He's not here. And they reminded him, they said he would rise, 3 days, three nights, and he would rise from the dead. He did. He left the tomb without rolling the stone away. And the angels rolled away to let us know that he was gone. So the early Christians began meeting on the first day of the week in recognition of the resurrection of Christ. This is not a replacement for the Sabbath. It's just that Christ kept the law. We're now under grace. And I know I'm not covering enough of the subject here. I'm trying to go through a lot of things really quickly here. The Sabbath was incumbent on the Jewish people as a sign, a perpetual covenant between them and their children. And in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither Jew nor Greek in Christ. So we are freed from that. We're in Christ. And in fact, I had a discussion with a Seventh-day Adventist. My wife and I were missionaries in the Samoan Islands in the South Pacific. And he was saying, why don't you come visit our church? And I said, well, I can't. said, why not? I said, because we're doing something at that time. We had something going on Friday night. We had something going on Saturday morning. And I said, we don't limit our time worshiping Christ to just one day of the week. We do like the apostles did in Acts chapter 2, where it says, daily and every day they cease not to preach and teach. And so that's what we try to daily worship God. If somebody wants to keep the Sabbath, more power to them. That's perfectly fine. You can do that. Nothing says that you can't. But we're not required to.
There's one scripture. I come home and I found it on my tablet. I know you got a couple of callers.
Yeah.
I'll just share this one scripture. It says, one man esteems another one day above another.
Mm-hmm.
Another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind.
Exactly.
I had that scripture come up on my tablet.
I've
been thinking of it.
Yeah, I was thinking of that myself earlier, and I wasn't thinking of what the reference is. I just couldn't think of the reference right at the moment, and I wasn't finding it right away, so I didn't go to that one. Do you have the reference there by chance?
No, I just didn't even say where it was written. I just came up on my tablet, and I just wrote it down.
Yeah.
But didn't give me the scripture and verse.
Yeah, my computer's being squirrely here, and it doesn't want to let me find the word. I don't know why I just can't find it right at the moment, but for time's sake, I'm going to have to move on. But you're right. Every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. If somebody wants to worship and go to church on Saturday, hey, that's fine. I don't think God's going to be too concerned. And one thing I do know, some people try to think, wow, you receive the mark of the Antichrist if you go to church worship on Sunday. Well, hey, God did not say, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God 6 days, and on the seventh thou shalt be condemned for all eternity. You know, I mean, you can worship God any day of the week you want to. There's no way that we're really commanded that we have to worship on Sunday. But the early Christians do. Paul preached on the first day of the week. I had somebody say, well, there's nowhere in the Bible that says that they did. Well, when you ignore the parts that say that they did, then, yeah, I guess you could say that. But, yeah, we worship any day of the week. We can worship several days of the week. We can worship 7 days of the week if you want to. But, we're not. The Sabbath is not incumbent on us like it was under the law on the Jewish people. So hopefully that helps a little bit there, Terry.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your call. And we're going to switch over to Cheryl calling in from Medina tonight. Cheryl, welcome to the program tonight.
Hello, Pastor Al.
Hi.
I have a very good question. It really links to what you were talking about earlier, which was seeking a biblical worldview,
mm-hmm.
wanting to devote your heart to it. But people are having a hard time finding churches.
Right.
Where they know that is the biblical worldview being taught there, and they're spending time, and then it isn't right, and they're leaving. So could you, give the words of wisdom about looking and finding a church that does follow a biblical worldview?
That's a great question, Cheryl, and I'd like to be able to say, well, look and see what the name is on the sign out front. But I know better. What's that?
I said, no, that doesn't work.
Right. I'm the pastor of an independent fundamental Baptist church. And I'd like to be able to say, if it says independent fundamental Baptist, it's a good church, but I know not everyone is. And in some cases, it might be that it says such and such Bible church or community church, and it might be better than the independent Baptist church down the road. I wish that you could look at the sign and know for sure just by the sign, but there are some things you can see on the sign that would either be a good indication or a bad indication. If the sign says that they're Bible-believing, that might be a good start. But again, we don't always go by, what the advertisement is. As the expression is, the proof is in the pudding. John said in John 7, or the Bible says in John 7:24, in fact, Jesus said, John, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So we want to exercise due diligence. and we want to be able to tell, we can get some clues, you know, from the sign out front. If the sign out front is says the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, then we know that it's likely not to be a good church because they're following a false gospel. If it says that Jehovah's... What's that?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say that what I have found is that there are times when the names are misleading, purposely.
Right, right.
Misleading.
Yeah.
And like one thing I've seen is, like if a in the explanation, you look it up on their website or whatever, and you see an explanation. If they say, "Our church doesn't discriminate," to me, that's a red flag.
And usually, that's a church that's invested in what do they call it? The divestment, inclusion, and in and equality, or they like to say it. I think that way. But you know, look at it. DIE, you know, divestment, inclusion, equality, die. That's a church that's dying when they've gone in that direction. If they've got a BLM supportive signs out front or Antifa supportive signs out front, that's probably not a good one. I hate to have to say this, but if they've got a rainbow flag out front, that's probably not a good one. You know,
very sad. But I'm wondering if really at this point. That someone really should think seriously about calling the pastor, asking specific questions, asking about do you follow, you know, the word as, you know, that's the truth, God's word, you know, no changes, and someone can't force you to change something. You know, some really, if you can, you know, like give people some, you know, good questions to help people find a good church. I know I had to search for a while, and I found yours.
Well, I thank you for that. But let me give you a couple pointers really quick, because I know we're running out of time real fast, and I still got Nancy waiting for us as well. I think one of the first ones is to know what we're talking about. We're talking about a body of believers, so they might not meet in a building called a church. They might meet in a hotel like we did for 13 years. It's certainly not going to be a radio program like this. This is not a church, but it's a group of people, because that's what the word church means, is ecclesia. It's a called out assembly. And so that's one thing. But when we're looking at that group of people, we want to consider the message that they have. Is the message Bible-based? And a lot of organizations calling themselves churches are not Bible-based. Again, that statistic we've been talking about, nearly two-thirds of pastors do not have a biblical worldview. That's not a good, that doesn't make for a good church. We want a church that proclaims a Bible-oriented, Bible-based message. The pastor should have a biblical worldview. And if they're not preaching out of the Bible, and of course, I believe very strongly, I don't have time to get into it right now, they should be preaching out of the King James Bible. And it's a different Bible than the NIV or the New American Standard or the English Standard Version and these other ones. They are based on different manuscripts. It's a whole area that most people don't know a whole lot about. We don't have time to get into that right now. But is the message Bible-based? Do they preach the Word of God? Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy, a time would come when people would not endure sound doctrine, but heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. He told Timothy to preach the word. And so that's a very important thing right there. Do they preach the word? Do they practice the word of God? What do they talk about when it comes to the gospel message? Do they preach the gospel? Do they say people need to be born again? You know, these are just some things that we could look at, and I actually have an article available on the subject, how can I tell a good church from a bad church or a bad one, and I'll have to put that link on our website at livewithpastoral.com if it's not there already.
You made a really good point right there, and I think one thing, since really almost all churches, I would say, but at least many, their sermons and even the whole worship service is, you know, like on YouTube. or something like that, and people could go in and actually listen, you know, listen to sermons and whatever, because you're right, they're, you know, they're, are they teaching right from the Word? You know that, but then you'd have to find out if they're acting on it.
Right.
You know, like, especially all the, you know, being engaged in the culture. I don't quite understand why people have separated that, because, you know, Jesus didn't, he didn't sit in the closet until Palm Sunday, you know, I mean, he was
right
in the culture and the, you know, all of the disciples and everything. So it's a push on pastors to try to make them believe that they shouldn't be involved.
Right. And that's something that we ought to look for in a church. Do they get outside of the doors? Are they involved in some fashion? Not only proclaiming the gospel, but being salt and light, making a difference in the community. Are they teaching their people and training their people in the church to be able to go out and share their faith with people around them and compare everything with the scriptures, as Isaiah said, Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony, they speak not according to this word because there is no light in them. And that's ultimately what we need to do. We need to compare the message. We need to compare what they're doing, their mission and their activities, with the Word of God. And it's not easy. It can be done. And then the most important thing is to pray and ask God to direct you as you seek to compare what's going on in the church that you're looking at and see if it measures up with the Word of God. So, and that it's where God wants you to be.
Fewer and fewer churches, you know, to find. And it's anything that helps people find one more quickly is really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
People didn't usually have to do that, you know, it was, but they have to do it now.
Well, and like I said, I wish I could say that the name on the sign and everything is a guarantee, but it's not. Today's a day where Christians have to put in some effort and put some time in prayer. Mm-hmm. Hey, Cheryl, I want to thank you for that great question. We're about out of time here, and I want to get Nancy on real quick as well, and hopefully you'll call in again. Nancy, I know we're running out of time, but I wanted to get you squeezed in here at the end. How are you doing?
Oh, great. And, you know, I like to tell people, because I don't really have time to cover what I was going to discuss tonight, or what asking you to. I like to tell people today, happy Heavenly Father's Day.
Yes.
Because so many people, they have a father that they're pretty sure they're not saved. And so I like to emphasize the fact that our Heavenly Father, if you trust Jesus as Lord and Savior,
amen,
he can be your Heavenly Father. So that's
amen.
Sermon.
Certainly. And we need that Heavenly Father. Got to interrupt. We're out of time. I want to thank everybody for listening. Happy Father's Day once more. God bless. Join us next week.
You've been listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live, visit our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs and read articles on a variety of topics by Al Davis at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, next Sunday morning at 11 a.m., next Sunday evening at 6 p.m., or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m., 6 p.m., and every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. And tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.